Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
And that's right, everybody. Welcome back once again to another edition of the Best Seat in the House podcast. As always, I'm your host, Rob Kramer, joined by my co-host, Daniel Bobo Curlin. And Dan, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing fine. For one thing, this hopefully this will be the last time until maybe somewhere around June that you'll see me with that without any facial hair.
That's true. A clean shaven Daniel Bobo Curlin is in front of us today, getting ready for the playoffs.
Exactly. I start the not shaving until the last shave before the playoffs will be the day of game one, which from what I hear is going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. Now we know that the first round series is going to be against the Washington Capitals, the 10th series, a playoff series against them all time. First time we're playing them since 2015. So, pretty big series, especially anything with Ovechkin, future Hall of Famer, is always going to be a high-profile affair, much like when, you get involved in a game with Sidney Crosby, or any of those top-end type players. And, it was really an incredible season for the Rangers. And, obviously you're wearing Mets gear, I'm wearing Jets gear, and we're starting the show talking about the Rangers. But, it makes a lot of sense, though, because the Rangers had a hell of a game on Monday night. That's where we will start, as the Rangers shut out the Ottawa Senators 4-0 at Madison Square Garden to clinch all of this in one night, the Metro Division, first in the Eastern Conference, and the President's Trophy, as I mentioned a second ago, all the first time since 2015. Dan, you must have been thrilled with this impressive performance by the Rangers because, the Senators, let's not forget, did come out in the final game of the season and beat the Carolina Hurricanes 6-3. So it's not like this team was a terrible, terrible team. They're still a formidable team, and the Rangers thoroughly dominated them on Monday night.
Yeah, exactly. I was stoked after that win. I'm like, I'm ready for the playoffs. It can't freaking come soon enough. I'm already making sure I already have my jersey. I want to make sure I want to have it. I just had it washed. I just had my jersey washed. Laundry and it's ready to go for Sunday. We're not wearing it till Sunday because I want to have it as freshly cleaned a jersey as possible going into Sunday. So
makes sense. Yeah. Going to the playoffs with a clean slate, right?
Yeah. So I had to make sure I put through my jersey in with the rest of the laundry. Actually, I think I maybe watched my jersey separate to make sure nothing happened. But I watched it in the basement. Kind of thought it was funny to have that that song for that Seated Silence of the Lambs blaring in full blast. I don't know why. I just thought it was funny to have that blasted full blast for the basement. Hopefully,
yeah.
Just to make people think there was some weird shit going on there in the basement, but there wasn't. I was just doing laundry.
Well, what's it called? Just a awesome performance by the Rangers on Monday night, for the 4-0 win. In the end, obviously we all care about the President's Trophy, but what did that mean to you, personally? Were you all about the President's Trophy, or were you one of these guys that's just like, if they get it, that's cool, but if they don't, I don't really care that much. Let's just start the playoffs already.
Yeah, I was kind of a little bit of both at the same time. I kind of was hoping that the Rangers didn't have to get a phone opponent that they were going to be worn out in the second round. I feel like they need to get at least one of these playoff series done quick, finished with quick before they can, because the next, I feel like the feel like once it gets to the Eastern Conference Finals and the finals are going to be the most exhausting rounds of the playoffs, and they want them to have their be ready for those rounds.
Yeah, and you know what? I think if you really look at it, and I guess it makes the most sense because the Rangers are the top seed, so they should be playing the worst team. But from what I see in the other matchups across the league, in the first, or at least specifically in the Eastern Conference, I think the Rangers get the most favorable matchup because. Right off the bat, the Rangers and Capitals. The Capitals are a good team. I think, Lindgren, their goalie, has been real hot. He's going to be tough. But to me, I would rather play the Capitals than any of the other teams that we could have played at, not including Florida, Boston, and Carolina, because those are the three favorites. But if we're talking about the other teams, like either the Tampa Bay Lightning, who wants any part of them, by the way? The Toronto Maple Leafs, who, while they don't have much playoff success, they're still a very formidable team and better than the Washington Capitals and even the Islanders. Because I've even said this over the last couple of weeks that a playoff series against the Islanders is, I feel like that series would kill me. Even if the Rangers sweep, that series would kill me just because of the tension of playing that team in the playoffs at such high stakes. So, I out of those choices, I mean, it isn't the best option, Washington.
Yeah, I'd say probably so, and hopefully this one gets done quick. I just also would not be surprised if we find Rempe and Tom Wilson dropping gloves.
Yeah, no, that's definitely going to be happening in the first round, which is another big reason why. As much of a pain in the ass Tom Wilson is, having a guy like Rempe really does kind of cancel him out in a sense because he's going to have to keep his ass in check in this series or Rempe's going to put him in line. And he knows that. And I'm not even certain that Rempe is going to be in the starting lineup game one. Let's ask that question for a second based off how Peter Laviolette has handled his lineups over the last couple of weeks, there's definitely a chance that they save Rempe maybe a game or two. Maybe he doesn't start game one, but he starts game two or something along those lines. What do you think the odds are that Laviolette starts it?
I think probably this one might be 50-50 on this one. Also, I do gotta say something because the Rangers opponents are the Capitals. As always on the social media, when these playoff series happens, I won't be using any caps on social media for the duration of that playoff series. There'll be no caps.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Just like the you gotta love the old playoff tradition. Just like Boomer Esiason gets a jersey of the team that the Rangers are facing and puts it in the freezer to make sure they're ice cold. Which is true. He actually does
Yep,
that.
I heard about that. I also heard about that crazy story with Anthony, but
Yeah, where Anthony broke his hand on his forehead.
yeah, it was something like that happened, and apparently, I don't know how many people have took a flight out of MacArthur Airport in Long Island, but one of the few times I took a flight out of there, right? I noticed you walk past this thing, right? This wall, I guess this Suffolk County Wall of Fame or whatever it was. There was a picture of Boomer Esiason, and I thought of that story. Like it reminded me of that when I saw that picture.
Is hilarious too. And if you're not aware of the story that we're talking about, Anthony Cumia of Opie and Anthony fame, grew up in the same area that Boomer Esiason did. They attended the same school, at least for a couple of years. And during one of those times, they got into a little bit of a fight. And during that fight, Anthony figured he'd throw the first punch. And when he did, he landed it square in the middle of Boomer's head. But then in the process, he broke his arm. And then Boomer continued just to, you know, pummel him a little bit. And then Anthony had to wear a cast for the next couple of weeks. So that's the famous Anthony Cumia versus Boomer Esiason story. Long Island royalty, no doubt about it, right?
Yep, exactly. Crazy what I learned for that happened. But yeah, during this whole playoff first round series, I'm not using any caps on social media.
Yeah, no, hey, I'm with you on that. I thought you were going to add more to that, but yes, I'm with you.
Now, the only time you're going to hopefully see any caps with me is right after the Rangers have won that series, hopefully.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Let's go. It's going to be a big series, man. Supposedly, it's going to be starting on Sunday. Rangers hosting the Capitals. They haven't announced the official game time as of the time we're recording this. 7 p.m. on Wednesday night before we release it the next day on YouTube, and all you great people see this, except for our Patreon subscribers who are seeing this live right now. So if you subscribe to Patreon, you get us the night before. It's only $5. That's pretty much worth it, right, Dan?
Yeah, that is a good deal. And like I said, that is the cost. That is the equivalent of the cost of a Metro card. You're getting all this content for the cost of a Metro card. Literally, you're getting early access to our main show. You get our Patreon exclusive show. You also get early access to my YouTube videos. You also get a nice little deal there.
Yeah, and you get Bobo's trackside minute, which is Bobo talking about the his thoughts on the NASCAR races and giving you the update and everything like that. So if you're interested in NASCAR, if you're not interested in NASCAR, Bobo will keep you updated.
Yep, exactly. So you got a lot of stuff there. So and it's all for the cost of a Metro card, and way less than it probably costs if you bought playoffs. If you're lucky enough to have playoff tickets for the Rangers, probably way less than that. Probably way less than that for the course of a Rangers game during a regular season. I had to tell someone from Canada that would say, what I only got like a hockey ticket for like a $35, and I told him, I says, $35, that is hard to fit. I thought I had some. That is hard to fathom here in New York, buying a hot ticket to the New York Rangers for $35. That is a pipe dream, right? I had to explain to him that the Rangers have the fourth highest ticket prices in the entire NHL.
Yeah, well, that's the price of being at Madison Square Garden. So, Ranger fans understand that. And, you know, talking about the Rangers playoffs and in comparison, a Rangers playoff ticket to a Metro card. Do you know what else is also like 100 times the price of a Metro card, Dan? That is the price of a New York Knicks playoff ticket. And you can get that because the New York Knicks are the number 2 seed in the NBA after a thrilling game that you watched from City Field on your phone. Yep. The Knicks beat the Chicago Bulls 120-119 in overtime. I forgot to include that on the little graphic there, but it was 120-119 in overtime. The last game of the season, game 82, they had a lot on the line. If they lost, they would obviously miss out on their 50th win, but they would have dropped down to the fourth seed in the NBA playoffs. And now winning gives them their 50th win of the year. First time they've done that since the 12-13 season. And now they're the number 2 seed for the first time since the 12-13 season. And now they're the number 2 seed in the East. They get the winner of tonight's, as we're recording this, about to begin in a little while, the 76ers and Heat play-in game that's being played tonight in Philadelphia. The winner tonight will play the Knicks starting on Saturday. So just pretty awesome all around, Dan. A big accomplishment for the Knicks. And even though the first round is going to be tough against either one of these opponents, it's going to be an awesome series.
Yep, exactly. I was watching that game you were mentioning that. I had the phone like set up like below, like I'm looking at the action that was happening during the Met game. I'm looking at that as a, like, I'm taking a glance on and off my phone, seeing what was going on with the Knicks game, and they won that. And hopefully they also do their part, and hopefully we get the Garden double championship finally that we came oh so close to back in '94.
Yeah, it's true, man.
And by the way, this time there'll be no car chases to interrupt the NBA Finals if we get that far.
That's true. Especially now with OJ having just passed away in the last couple of weeks, then there is no chance that we're going to be getting a Bronco chase at some point. I mean, I guess unless it's somebody else, but at least OJ will be out of the equation.
Yeah. Plus that, I don't think that'll get that attention at all. People didn't like it. I don't think Knicks fans liked it either. Anyone who's a Knicks fan hated that.
Oh, no doubt about it. But still, I don't know, man. People love car chases. So, I mean, when you look at the Sixers and the Heat, big game tonight, the Sixers have a history of choking in the playoffs, I guess you could say. The Heat have a history of winning championships or overperforming in the playoffs at times. They have a great coach in Eric Spoelstra. I mean, Dan, if you had to take your pick, who are you rooting for tonight for the Knicks to play in the first round?
I'd rather the Knicks face the Sixers in the first round.
Now, what makes you say that?
I don't know. Just the Heat. They just freaking scare me. Every time they get in this like crazy momentum thing during the playoffs, it scares me facing them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, and I mentioned the coaching before, too. You know, Spoelstra, man, you got to respect him. Even though he did win his championships, I guess you could say, during the LeBron era, you could tell what a good coach he was. And he was basically handpicked by those guys. And there's a reason for that, because he is a great coach. And, you know, he play a big role in that Heat team, along with Jimmy Butler, going all the way to the NBA Finals last year and eliminating the Knicks along the way. So definitely, I agree with you. Even though I've heard a lot of people saying against it, because they say that, you know, don't fear the Heat. They overperformed last year. They're due for a setback this year. And the Sixers, by the way, are healthy again with Joel Embiid rejoining them and playing at an MVP type level again. So, you know, the Sixers do kind of scare you a little bit, but for some reason, I just kind of, I fall on your side, Dan, where I just look at both teams and I say, man, Jimmy Butler is one of those guys that in the regular season, he's a pretty good player, but in the playoffs, he's a great player. You know what I mean? Kind of like Derek Jeter, where Derek Jeter, and I guess Butler doesn't really have a championship to back it up yet, I don't believe. But, you know, he kind of reminds me of Derek Jeter in a way where when you need a big performance out of that guy, he's the go-to guy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of scares me, the Heat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So that game will be getting underway in just a little bit. So definitely have to keep our eyes on that as the Knicks get ready for their playoff run. Talking about the Rangers and their playoff run, just about to get underway this weekend too. So we're going to have a lot to look at that. And, you know, before we move on from this and check over on the baseball side of things, because, you know, obviously we always talk baseball in this town, no matter what time of year it is. You know, what do you think, Dan? How far can the Knicks go? Obviously, as Knicks fans, we're going to be a little jaded, but and don't forget that we don't have Julius Randle, so that does sting. going into this playoff run. But with OG and Brunson playing at an MVP level like he's been, what do you think? What's the ceiling for this team?
I think they could go anywhere from winning the whole thing to at least getting to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So you think the floor is the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, that's yeah. Like there's no way they're going to crap out in the first two rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't say that that's a crazy prediction. You know, if you would have told me that 5 years ago, I would have laughed in your face, you know? But when you look at this Knicks team now, they're pretty well built together, man. And they have, you know, I get the thing about this team too, and I love the growth that we've seen from guys like Hartenstein, you know, from the bench and everything like that. And even Josh Hart, to an extent, as good as Josh Hart was last year, man, he has added rebounding and just doing the dirty work in the game to his repertoire. And he has turned himself into such a valuable piece, like to the extent where he's playing 40 plus minutes a night a lot. And that's pretty crazy. And, you know, when you look at a guy like Dante DiVincenzo and even Brunson himself, who just keeps getting better, seemingly, you know, it does make a lot of sense when you say that. You know, if you had to pick your one favorite storyline from the Knicks this year, or your one guy, you know, that just really captures your attention the most, who would that be on the team?
I think so far it's got to be Brunson.
Okay, well that's true, but how about outside of Brunson?
I think Dante DiVincenzo also.
Oh, that's a good one too, man. I gotta say, I Dante DiVincenzo has been such a, like, I remember when I saw the signing from him, you know, over the summer when the Knicks actually signed him to the contract, I knew who he was. I didn't remember that he went to Villanova, but it was kind of cool where you see the history between him and Brunson and Josh Hart all having been on that Villanova team that won the NCAA championship back in, I think, 2016. So, you know, this is a group of guys that have known each other for a long time, and seeing them all blend together on the court, and like, even I feel like they've all made each other better when they've been on the floor at the same time this year. And the crazy thing to me, too, is that Dante DiVincenzo started the season on the bench and ended up setting – I don't have the number in front of me, but he ended up setting the Knicks record for most three-pointers in a season. Like, he just had an incredible year from about November or maybe even early December on, and it's just incredible to see what this team became, right?
Yeah. They have really come a long way, and I just feel like the sky's the limit for this team. And not only that, I feel like this could also affect future seasons. It could finally show big stars that, hey, this team is a kind of a place you want to go to for once.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes a lot of sense. You're right. It you know, and it's true too what you just said. And the Knicks under Leon Rose, and you got to give him credit, because I feel like, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but I feel like James Dolan finally did with the Knicks what he should have done 12 or 13 years ago with the former president or GM, whatever his title was, Donnie Walsh, where Donnie Walsh was just stockpiling cap room and draft picks and doing a phenomenal job of it and orchestrating all these perfect little moves. And then as soon as Dolan stepped in and got involved with the whole Carmelo thing, it all fell apart. Now he's doing the right thing and stepping back and letting Leon Rose run things. And it was good enough over the last couple of years to attract a pretty good free agent. You know, he's turned it to even better, but a pretty good free agent in Jalen Brunson in the first place. You know what I mean? So I feel like that really shows what you just said is 100% true, because even before this last 2 years of even more success, players like Brunson saw the writing on the wall and saw how this team is set up to compete and be a well-funded and a well-oiled machine over the next couple of years, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's finally happening, but after years of letdowns and hoping for that one star that was going to come to this team, that was going to elevate, only to get disappointed and finding out they went somewhere else, it's finally happening in our favor, and I'm loving it so far.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I could not agree more. And, you know, I think that'll about do it for us on the talking about our two winter sport playoff teams heading into their respective playoff series this weekend. Right now, we'll turn our attention to a little baseball and the Mets today, man. You know, look, I want to start before we even talk about the Mets right now. I was saying this to you off air. Look, I have been very, very critical of the Mets, even going as far as to go on a what did I call it? You know, basically a Mets strike this year, where I'm still watching, obviously, and I still love the Mets, but I was very critical of the way they handled this offseason, and I said I wasn't going to give them a dollar. And I backed that up by not going to spring training this year, which I usually do go to spring training. I love spring training, but I didn't go this year. And, you know, the thing about it is I love being wrong. I hope the Mets go out and win 110 games this year and make me look like the biggest know-nothing idiot on the planet. I want to see David Stearns turn into, you know, the next greatest general manager in baseball history. I hope I'm wrong. You know, the Mets went out and they are on a roll right now. They're 10-8. The Mets completed the sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates today, Dan. A 3-game sweep with a 9-1 blowout at Citi Field. They just, everything they touch right now is turning to gold. After that 0-5 start, the Mets have gone 10-3. What do you think about this crazy start to the Mets season?
I'm impressed. They just somehow managed to not be fazed by the slow start and are bouncing back. I just feel like this weekend's going to be a big tale of how things are going for the team, because we're facing a tougher opponent this weekend. But yeah, I just have good faith in the team. I just hope if they keep it going that David Stearns makes the right moves and doesn't half-ass it. And this team, the pitching is going to be the thing that's going to really be the thing that's going to be determine the outcome of the season, I feel like. And they need to get pitching that could go past the fifth inning, because it scares me the more they have to overuse the bullpen. And somehow by luck today, we were winning by a blowout that we didn't have to use our best relievers today, but which worked in our favor. And yesterday's game worked in our favor that the backups didn't were able to hold on to that lead yesterday. So so far it's worked good, but I have to say, you know who else is happy that the Mets are on a hot streak? My mom. I just had to say that. But
if you are a repeat viewer of Best Seat in the House podcast, you had to know that was coming.
yeah, exactly. I just can't help but have a perfect to do an impression of Muscle Man every time there's a perfect moment that segues into it, and I had to do that. But yeah, I'm stoked about this winning streak, and I gotta tell you, make sure that the longer this streak goes, make the longer they're in contention like this, they're in, this team is hot, they're winning series left and right. They need to have that guy in that weird, that I guess everybody's been calling him rally pimp. They need to have him at as many games as possible. For all I know, this guy might be a season ticket holder. Every game he's sitting at, he's sitting in these seats that I know quite for sure are expensive. And by the way, are pretty neat seats. I sat in them once. Those seats are like all inclusive. Like you can get food from any concession stand included in the ticket.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like almost, I think it's almost like all you can eat. Like you can go to concession stands, you know, they scan a ticket. That food is included. So anyone that's like got money, those are like, anyone who's got the money to afford those seats, they got a good chance to really try out all the menu at Citi Field. And those seats are insanely close. And of course, padded seats. But that guy's got to be making some serious coin if he's sitting there in those seats. And
in case anybody's wondering, this is the rally pimp that Bobo is talking about. This is the drawing by Mesmerized, who put that up there. Oh, it was actually Athlete Logos that made that. So that's pretty cool. And then let's see, any more from the rally pimp. Yeah, there we go. There's the rally pimp right there.
Yep.
So pretty cool. Pretty cool. If he's got season tickets, let's hope they keep this winning up all year. And, we'll all be fans of the rally pimp, right?
Yep, exactly. It's going to get to the point where this guy's going to have to start showing up at road games.
That's true.
And I got to say, I do. I am a fan of this guy's vibe.
Me too.
Can't help but love the chill vibe of that guy.
No doubt about it, man. Now, I do want to, point this out. So the Mets have now won 4 straight. They've won 9 of 12. They've been on a really big roll, but I do want to caution everything too, just because we're seeing this right now on April 17th. Let's not forget we're just barely halfway through April. Let's not get carried away, just like we shouldn't have gotten carried away with the 0-5 start. But let's keep everything in perspective, because let's also not forget, you recall in 2018. We had a brand new manager named Mickey Callaway that started his career 11-1, and we all know how that ended. So I remember, thinking that year was going to be fantastic after that, the way that started, and that couldn't have crashed and burned any quicker. The other thing I want to say is there's an old adage in baseball. There are 2 months where you really can't believe your eyes, and it's April and September outside of spring training. And I guess the September part was a little bit more relevant back in the day when they expanded to the 40-man rosters, which they don't do anymore. It's only a couple. It's like 28 or whatever they do now. But, I think that still does stand the test of time for April, because April baseball is very weird. It's so up and down. A lot of teams are still trying to find their footing and shake off the rust from spring training. So, what do you think about that, Dan, about not being able to trust your eyes with April baseball?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of get a little nervous there that April, I don't want to jump the gun too far yet. But also the other thing that I think the September adage might be more applied to if a team is out of contention in September.
Well, that too, because teams give up, that kind of crap.
If the team's in contention in September, then you got to be taking them seriously, because that is like they're in the middle of a crunch. There is all the pressure in the world when you're there in contention down that stretch.
Oh, yeah. But then that's where you have to rule in the factor that, yeah, those teams are going to be coming in gangbusters. But then it depends. Are they going against teams that are running out players that are of that caliber, or – what I mean? So it kind of balances itself out. But either way, so now the Mets, let's keep everything in perspective, but you have to give them their flowers. They're playing very well. I congratulate the Mets. I hope they keep it up and make me look like an idiot for not picking them in the playoffs, which you did. So, let's hope they make you look like a genius and me look like a dummy. So I would love nothing more than that. One guy who could play a big role in that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but real quick, is Luis Severino, Dan. 2-1 with a 2.14, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, no earned today, and then the 3 walks and 4 strikeouts. I mean, this is another guy that can make me eat my words. I was very critical of this signing at times, but, what do you think, Dan, with all this going down right now, especially Severino pitching great, just not long?
Well, maybe he's kind of had a little up and down, maybe gone through some injuries. I feel he's maybe finding it all together, despite the fact that I kind of question a reclamation project in such a high comfort zone. He's been around.
Hey Dan,
Probably Carl
you're
Smith.
breaking up a lot, Danny. Can you jump out and come back in?
Sure, no problem.
All right. Well, Dan rejoins us too. Yeah, I want to just give my mea culpa on Luis Severino for the time being, as he's proven me wrong, man. The guy came out, especially today. Even the fact that he gave six innings and, had just that in today's game, believe it or not, is length. I mean, there are certain situations that, calls for a pitcher to only go five or six innings. Obviously, you want them to go more, but they just don't do it these days. They even had the situation the other day where, let's see. Okay, I thought Dan was rejoining us. Let's see. Are you there, Dan?
Me?
There you go. Okay, you just popped on. Can you hear us, Dan?
All right, so sorry about that, guys. But yeah, what I was saying is, yep, I can hear everyone. Hold on, were you able to hear me?
Yeah, Dan, you're breaking up real bad. Breaking up real bad. Do you have anything else open on your phone? All right. Well, as I was saying, pitchers just don't go that long these days. And they just had the decision the other day that came down. Oh, I'm sorry. It was actually earlier today in the Pirates game. They had, I'm sorry. It was last night. It was last night. The days are starting to run together right now. But last night, the Mets were trailing 1-0 for most of the game. They ended up putting a three spot up in the eighth inning and came back against the Pirates. Well, the first five innings of that game, the Mets were dominated by the Pirates' starting pitcher, a young guy just making, one of his first career starts. It wasn't his first, but he's only made a couple of starts this year. And he threw 59 pitches, dominating the Mets in five innings, allowing just a couple of hits, no runs. And they pulled him out because, as the manager of the Pirates said last night, that there was, what's it called? Oh, here we go. We'll join my Dan again. But it was preordained, they said. That Dan, did you see this last night? Are you with us? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm back now. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, perfect. You're perfect right now. This is the best you've been all night. I just want to ask you, Dan. I was just talking about while you're off, the pitcher last night against the Mets, the starting pitcher, dominated the Mets through the first five innings, 59 pitches, and the Pirates manager took him out after five shutout innings with 59 pitches because he said it was preordained, meaning by the general manager and upstairs, that the pitcher pitch five innings no matter the circumstances. How crazy is that?
I just think that's overmanaging. What the fuck? Do you even care about winning games? You do that? That's overmanaging. I'm sorry. I was just overmanaging. That is just complete stupidity right there.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
That is the worst case of overmanaging I saw since I don't know how far I got to go back. Remember 2012, how the Washington Nationals did not have their best pitcher available in the playoffs?
Steven Strasburg, you nailed it, man, 100%.
Yeah, that as much as I can't stand the Walgreens, that was something that I really feel like hurt them in the playoffs, not having their best pitcher.
I totally agree, and look, the only time they ever won in the playoffs was in 2019. When Steven Strasburg put that team on his back and went 5-0 en route to a World Series championship. So it just goes to show what a dumb move it was, not starting him in 2012. But I guess 7 years later, it did kind of pay off for them. Unfortunately, Strasburg just retired too. So actually, it's crazy to think that we've already seen the entire career of Steven Strasburg. But got to give it to him and congratulations on a good career and a championship, right?
Yeah, exactly. Even though I kind of question how many Walgreens fans there actually are, because they seem like a bunch of front runners. Because every time I've heard from people who have Met fans who have seen the Mets on the road in D.C., and there's always more Met fans than fans of the Walgreens.
Oh yeah, and Met fans travel well too in the first place. But you know, all 37 Walgreens fans definitely really appreciate Steven Strasburg. You know.
Yep. exactly.
But you know, I do want to give some other real credit here off the bat to another Met player that has just come out of the gate and played phenomenally out of the bullpen, specifically Reed Garrett. Dan, how good has Reed Garrett been for this team so far this season? He's 2-0. He's made 4 appearances, and in those 4 appearances, he's thrown 8 2/3 innings. He's allowed 4 hits, 3 walks, and 17 strikeouts. That's the, 8 2/3 innings is, you know, basically a full game. But the 17 strikeouts, this guy has been blowing people away early on in his Mets career, right?
Yeah, well, there's one thing I got to credit. Hopefully they don't wear out this bullpen too much, because so far that seems to be the only need that they really addressed is the bullpen.
Because a lot of these guys are no names that people didn't know, you know? And they... the thing is that is the formula that David Stearns likes to go with, I guess. You know, he doesn't really value paying big money to relievers. And, you know, let's not forget, he's not the guy that gave the contract to Edwin Diaz. Billy Epler was. Billy Epler, the former GM of the Mets. So, I don't know, Dan, what do you think? Do you think that this is the right strategy going with these kind of like no-name guys?
I think you have to go with some big name. You have to kind of go with some big name. To the point, you can't rely entirely on these no-names, even though relievers is a kind of tricky thing sometimes.
And, well, you know what, Dan? Continue.
But I just feel like closers, you kind of, that one you need to go with a big name sometimes. You need to go with a guy that kind of knows how to handle closing games at big spots, especially on this team. And Diaz is one of those generational talents. And you can't
He definitely afford, is.
Yeah, and you can't say no to a generational talent like that.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you know, to further what you were saying, to prove your point basically, maybe it is like a combination of the two where you kind of pay one guy and then surround him with a bunch of these other high ceiling. Exactly. High ceiling guys that you're not paying a lot of money to and taking the chance on. So maybe that's kind of David Stearns's, philosophy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I kind of think so. Maybe I feel like that you can get away with it. I think the only place you can really get away with that is when it's in terms of relief pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like position players, you kind of need to do some, you need to kind of make some big moves on that. And you may need to make at least one or two big moves on starting pitching, I feel like.
Yeah, they definitely have to add starting pitching. I agree with you there. They definitely have to find their ace. But they got a couple of young guys, too, performing very well at the minor league level. I forget the kid's name. I was just reading up on him the other day, but they got a kid in AAA right now that's blowing people away. So maybe they do have, another big arm on the horizon, but who knows if we even see him in the bigs this year, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And plus that, I get nervous if you have to lean on a rookie like that. It's always kind of nervous about that situation. So it's going to be a big thing that we have. We need hopefully another starting pitcher that could go along with Singa when he comes back. The other thing I'm hoping pretty soon we did we get an update on JD Martinez. I'm hoping to see him get more bats and maybe more at the triple, the high A, double A, and the triple A level.
Yeah, the last thing I heard is that it's still, you know, going to be a little bit of time with him. It's still going to take at least, you know, another couple more days. So let's just keep our fingers crossed. You know, like me and you said, me and you basically said this when he first got hurt. I'm circling May 1st. You know, if we see him before May 1st, that's great. But I'm not expecting him to see him before May 1st. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of find it weird why he waited this long to sign and why the Mets waited this long to all of a sudden now they decide to sign JD Martinez. It got so late that it kind of wonders how much season we are going to have of him on this team. It's actually so late. If I remember correctly, when I looked through, because every year I go to Mets, you might buy the Mets yearbook, right? Every I have one from every season. His picture is not even in the Mets yearbook. That's how late the signing was. They didn't even have time to print. They didn't have time there was a photo of him or anything. There wasn't even a Photoshop of him in the Mets uniform.
Yeah, well, he signed way too late for that. So yeah, that definitely makes sense. But just to a couple of last points on the Mets before we move on to the Yanks and get into the final stretch here. Also, you know, I don't know what is up with Francisco Lindor, but this guy just can't hit from the left side of the plate anymore. I mean, you know, 4 for 50 from the left side of the plate coming into today. I forget what he finished up with, but coming into today, he was 4 for 50. From the left side of the plate. What in the hell is going on with Francisco Lindor? This guy has such immense talent. We saw even last year, he got up to such a dreadful start. And then the second half of the season, he went on a tear. And when you look at his numbers for the full year, 33 home runs, 98 RBIs, you know, you say to yourself, this is a shortstop putting up these kind of numbers. But man, I don't know what is up with him, but he can't get out of his own way. And if Francisco Lindor is not hitting, then he ain't worth 30 plus million. So this is just getting, and you know, the fans are trying to get behind him and they cheer for him, give him a little standing ovation. You know, what do you think about the deterioration of Francisco Lindor?
I'm hoping this isn't anything that's going to hurt us. It doesn't get that bad that he wakes up from this slow start. Because I just feel like Francisco Lindor, last couple of years, he gets off to these slow starts, but then once he gets going, it's freaking good.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that, look, he got going in July or whatever it was finally last year, much like Pete Alonso, and the problem for the Mets is that we were buried at that point already, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, and I guess the question is maybe he should just switch to just batting exclusively right-handed.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because that point was brought up to, I think it was Mets manager Carlos Mendoza in his pregame press conference today, and he said that the Mets aren't even considering it.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because I think at this point maybe I feel like it should be considered. Maybe that kind of I feel like that happens maybe to some switch hitters over the course of their career that they maybe kind of had to stick to one side.
Yeah, so but you know what though? Continue. I'm sorry.
So I feel like maybe that needs to be that might need to be an option revisited if this goes on long enough.
Yeah, well, you know, for the thing that I think about with it too is that traditionally Francisco Lindor, especially pre his Mets days, was always a deadly left-handed hitter. He would usually hit for a higher average from the right-hand side of the plate, but he was, you know, a very powerful and pretty consistent left-handed hitter. That has not been the case over the last year or two in a Mets uniform, and especially, I mean, 4 for 50 is just ridiculous. And, you know, he bats from the left side of the plate most of the time. You know, most pitchers are right-handed, so that's a problem if he can't hit from the left side of the plate. So, you know, to to what you were saying, I think that even if, let's just say, maybe for a week, bat only from the right-handed side of the plate. That way, maybe it'll, you know, like sometimes when you see something from a different angle, that when you go back to what, you know, like, let's say he hits from the right-handed side of the plate only for a week and doesn't really do very good. Then he switches back to the left-handed side of the plate, and maybe he sees things a little bit differently, and it helps him snap out of it, you know, because sometimes you just get into bad habits, and it happens to ball players all the time. You know, these guys stepping in the bucket, pulling the ball into foul territory, and all that kind of crap. There are plenty of things you could do to develop bad habits, and I just feel like maybe Francisco Lindor has developed a lot of bad habits from the left-handed side of the plate specifically that maybe he could kind of snap himself out of by not batting from the left-hand side of the plate for a little while and then going back to it.
Yeah, that should – I feel like that needs to be an option on the table.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't it be, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, why limit yourself? You know, if you have a guy making 30-plus million, you want to do everything you can to get every ounce out of him you can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so now the Mets, after having a really, really solid homestand there, wrapped up by the sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates, now the Mets head out to L.A., as you mentioned, Dan, to play a much better team than the Pirates, which, by the way, the Pirates aren't a crappy team yet this season anyway, as they actually have a better record than the Mets at 11-8. So, you know, you got to give the Pirates credit that they were 11-5 coming in this series, and the Mets put the boots to them. Now, the Dodgers are a different story, and the Mets are getting thrown right in the fire on Friday night, man, as the opening matchup on Friday night at Dodger Stadium is Manea for the Mets going against Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Japanese ace pitcher who got a record deal for the major leagues before ever even throwing a pitch. You know, Yamamoto is going to be real interesting to see for the first time live against the Mets, you know, which means we watch the game a different way. If we're watching the Mets, you watch it a lot closer than you do a regular game. So what are your thoughts on seeing Yamamoto for the first time Friday night?
Oh, I just hope the Mets light the guy up. that's still upset by that time. The one guy we were trying to making all our eggs in our basket, trying to go after, and it failed big time. I haven't felt that upset at a free agent that didn't sign with the team I'm a fan of since the Knicks lost out on LeBron James. That's how upset I was when he left, when we failed to get him.
Yeah, I can understand that. Missing out on Yamamoto was very disappointing, especially when it kind of felt like the Mets offseason hinged on getting him, because they swung and missed on Ohtani, and then they swung and missed on Yamamoto, and there really wasn't that much after that. So until they signed JD Martinez with about 3 days left in spring training. I'm not even kidding.
Exactly. I wouldn't even count the Mets as they swung and missed on Ohtani, because it just seemed like they didn't even try to go after him. It was one of those situations where they didn't even think he was going to even sign with him, because all the sources kept saying he just wanted to be, he just, for whatever
that's
reason.
Still, that's still a swing and a miss to me. You know, that's still a swing and a miss to me.
I would have liked to have seen him try to throw bags of money at him, but
yeah, at least try. You know, or they could have just offered him a better sweet deal than the Dodgers did at that that big, you know, crazy contract they gave him. Maybe the Mets could have broke it down in a more favorable way where he got more money up front, but it didn't hurt him as much on the back end. You know, I feel like there are a ton of different ways with the having the richest owner in sports. The Mets could have tried to find a way, some way to lure him to New York, you know, or at least be in the mix.
Yeah, exactly. At least be in the mix. Also, speaking on a side note about not really baseball related, but I noticed on Instagram, this Instagram post, apparently, I don't know if you remember, you might be too young to remember these, but I don't know if you heard about these cards back in the 80s, these garbage bail kids cards that had these weird, silly little characters. You know,
I do remember those names. Yes.
They, on and off, they've brought them back over the years. They're doing MLB versions of these, parroting the MLB players. You know, like,
really?
Yeah, based on, you know, like the different ones based on MLB players. Like, they have one, like the Pete Alonso one that says Polar Pete, which I'm actually going to go on eBay. I'm probably going to go on eBay to buy it. It's not that bad. I want to get a hold of that one for myself. And then I forgot what the other one. I forgot the other one, the Alvarez one, who is playing off the El Troll nickname. I forgot how many Met ones they did, but I was laughing at the one about the one about parroting the whole thing of Randy Johnson killing the bird. We all heard about what happened, that incident that happened in the spring training game where the bird got killed, and you see this weird thing of these birds attacking this guy.
Yeah, that's funny, man. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of want to buy some. Kind of want to buy some of these for my Mets collection myself. Some of these cards.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty cool that they're doing that. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And of course, it was also able to be pulled off because the Topps owns the rights to those Garbage Pail Kids cards. And they have the exclusive deal with the MLB these days.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's why they were able to pull it off. But I thought it was a really cool kind of collaboration, and I want to get a hold of some of these cards for my collection.
Well, Dan, another cool collaboration that happened today was the New York Yankees coming back in a collaborative effort by a gigantic hit from Aaron Judge in the ninth inning. The Yankees came back. They dropped the first two in Toronto, came back and won today, 6-4. You know, the Yankees just continue to play good ball. Look, we both picked the Yankees and Toronto to make the playoffs. Even if they both don't, we both know they're good teams. So the fact that the Yankees dropped 2 out of 3 in Toronto after the way they've started, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, what do you think about this, Dan? This little bump in the road that the Yankees faced in a tough series in Toronto, but still pulling out the victory today.
Well, I got to give credit for that to not let it be a complete washout in the series. At the same time, I'm looking at like who could probably be the toughest opponent the Yankees face during the season. Could be Toronto. Could be their toughest opponent.
Yeah, you know what though, I wouldn't undersell the Guardians though. Guardians are a damn good team.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, I kind of took a look at those games. Some of those games looked overmatched by the Yankees.
They did. It really was just that doubleheader. I because they played the doubleheader on Saturday after they got rained out on Sunday and they pulled the win out. I'm sorry, if they got rained out on Friday. And they pulled the win out on Sunday. So that doubleheader, I feel like that Saturday, they just played like shit that day. Couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah. So it may have hurt the momentum the Guardians had on that one. So possibly Toronto and a Cleveland could be the toughest competition the Yankees are facing all year. But probably Baltimore looks like a very formidable opponent.
Oh, well, Baltimore is going to be the class of that division. I think we all know that. And just to shine a little light on Aaron Judge, got to love, if you're a Yankee fan, him busting out of his slump today. And let's be honest, you can't overreact to him getting off to this early start because, you know, he's the reason why Juan Soto is seeing so many great pitches to hit. You know, you can't give him credit for Soto taking advantage of it and ripping it apart, but you have to give him credit for putting Soto in a really good spot because nobody wants to, walk a guy and put him on in front of Judge. And even though Soto does draw his fair share of walks, these guys are he's seeing pitches in the strike zone specifically because of Aaron Judge, and he's benefiting from it and performing great. So. Love what you've seen from Soto, and if they could get Judge going too, the Yankees are going to be dangerous, man.
Yeah, exactly. I can't see Judge being on that long of a big cold streak. Nah. The guy seems like one of those. He's one of those generational talents, and I feel like probably like the previous generation of Yankees had Derek Jeter for all those years. I think there's going to be, and remember how I told you my high school days? I used to get annoyed by those girls that wore Yankee jerseys because they had a crush on, you know, they had a crush on Jeter. The only reason they like
Yeah.
Yankees, those cities. I think probably Judge is the equivalent of that player these days. Like, there's a generation of teenage Met fans that know that that's the group of Yankee fans that are probably annoy them the most are the ones that are just Yankee fans because they have a crush on Judge. It's even worse with the TikTok generation, I can tell you that, because there was a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, 2002, right, the Subway Series, the Mets versus Yankees at Yankee Stadium. I felt like I had the worst luck with the seats I was sitting at because I was my that my view of the game was constantly blocked by these dumb TikTok girls that were doing some stupid TikTok dances during a game, and it was annoying me.
Well, all right. Well, you made the point too that Judge is the face of the Yanks, and I mean, hey, you go back to the days of Jeter that you mentioned, the girls in the Jeter jerseys, and when you look at Don Mattingly and Thurman Munson and Mickey Mantle and all those guys, he is right in that line of faces of the New York Yankees, and he's put himself in that air. And
Yep, and
right.
I gotta say one thing. No disrespect to females to the Yankee fans, all right? If there's ones that are legitimate fans, I respect, but these ones that are just those bandwagoners, I have zero respect for bandwagon Yankee fans. Zero respect for bandwagon Yankee fans.
Well, and there are many of them, and there will be plenty of them this weekend as the Yankees host the Rays at Yankee Stadium. Gotta love that little segue there, as the Yankees and the Rays renew their rivalry. As we know, it's been heated against these teams for quite a few years now, especially ever since the Rays became this dominant force, and maybe not so much dominant, it's just always a consistent threat. And the Yankees and the Rays renew it this weekend. What do you think, Dan? I think we both know that. The Rays have a pretty good team, and obviously the Yankees have a pretty good team. What do you expect the outcome to be this weekend?
I expected these games to really be determined by the pitching. And sometimes I kind of question how much pitching there is on the Rays front. Because I feel that's the key to beating the Yankees is pitching.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, Dan. I couldn't agree more. And it's all going to be decided this weekend in the Bronx. So let's see which team outpitches the other, because there is no question that the only way you're gonna be able to beat the Yankees with that lineup is by not making mistakes. And that all starts on the mound. And so just to wrap up now, there's one last thing I wanted to get into, Dan, and there's a reason why I'm wearing my throwback Jet stuff, and that's because it's no longer throwback. If you saw, the Jets announced earlier this week that they've gone back to the old 80s logo, this New York Jets style logo with the airplane basically on that. Everybody loves that logo from the time that me and you grew up, the quote unquote sack exchange era Jets logo. And obviously they're going back to the same style uniform for this being the away. And they have the green, like the Kelly green kind of for the home jerseys as well. What do you think about this, Dan? What are your thoughts on these jerseys?
Well, I could tell you they nailed the look of the throw of that of the jerseys from that era, and I'm sure there's plenty of Jet fans who remember that era that they're probably thrilled about that. So
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there'd be some. Well, I actually I can't say rushing to Modell's because they're fortunately we don't have Modell's anymore that you can buy stuff like that anymore. Which kind of sucks because we do have Dick's Sporting Goods, but Dick's Sporting Goods doesn't have many locations in New York City. I think one of the few locations in Queens is like out of the way. Modell's They had him everywhere. Remember that? It was
Yeah,
never,
yeah. Well, I would definitely.
It was never a difficult time for me to my motel. That time when the Giants won the Super Bowl, I was able to get it the next day. The merch.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing now about NFLShop.com. You can get overnight delivery, and luckily for these Jets uniforms, they're selling out pretty quickly. As there's definitely a lot of positivity attached to these jerseys, and I know I, for one, was very thrilled that they went back to it, because the Jet uniforms that they switched to, you know, I'll always love the old Namath styles that Bill Parcells brought back from 1998 that they used until 2018. But when they switched the jerseys with Adam Gase, yeah, I've never been a fan of those jerseys. I'm very glad to see they went back to these. So, yeah, Dan, I think we're in agreement there. I think myself and the rest of the Jet fan base is pretty happy. And speaking of football, next week, stay tuned for the mock draft special, as me and Dan will mock out the first 10 draft picks for the NFL draft. As the Jets are selecting at number 10, the Giants are selecting at number 6. So obviously we'll both pick our respective teams and see how everything falls in between. What do you think, Danny? You pumped for our mock draft next week?
Yep, I'm pumped for the draft. I'm hoping the Giants either get a quarterback or something that strengthens the offensive line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also keep hearing receivers going to them possibly, but who knows which way the Giants are leaning. Definitely a lot of different ways they could go. A lot of different ways the Jets could go too. So it's definitely going to be fun to break that down and see how everything falls on draft night and even our mock draft night. So please tune in for that next week. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Dan, that's going to do it for us tonight. Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Sure. You got my Twitter account, Bobo103NYC, Instagram, Bobo718DK. It's my same username on Treads. Also YouTube, for my Bobo YouTube videos, it's one word, Daniel Curlin. Also you can follow me on the various shows I appear in as well. I'm having appearance on various shows, so you can find me in a lot of places. Also, of course, next week we'll begin the speaking of photos and videos. Of course, as you know, before each round of the playoffs, I always post a picture of myself, how my playoff year looks like so far. So there'll be a picture you'll see on Sunday game of what I look like then. So it's going to be updated before each round, the photo. And just for the heck of it, Mr. Malunigan's going to be in the photo with me, those photos with me, of course, because why not?
Well, definitely keep your eyes open for that. If you want to follow. Yeah, Dan.
Oh yeah. Also, probably either tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to film the track sign minute covering the action that happened last Sunday over at Texas. So you'll have the track sign minute this week also.
Exactly. And subscribe to our Patreon for that, $5 a month, patreon.com/bestseatinthehousepodcast. Also, don't forget to check us out on Twitter at @BSith_podcast. You can check me out on there as well at my last name, Kramer NY. And yeah, don't forget to check us out on Instagram as well, Best Seat in the House Podcast. We're also on Kick. Don't forget us on there, Best Seat in the House Pod. We're also on Twitch, Best Seat in the House Podcast. So find us wherever you want. We're pretty much everywhere except Facebook, which I don't know. We should probably make a Facebook. I don't know. Maybe we won't. But that's going to do it for us, everybody. For Rob Kramer, this is for Daniel Bobo Carlin. I'm Rob Kramer. We'll catch you next time, everybody. Let's
Push
go,
the
Rangers.
Button, Frank.